Amen. You may be seated.
All right, let's move forward as we now get back to our normal ministry. And everybody take out your document. Make sure, I guess, have one. There's some in the back. Been on this a long time, and we shall be on it a long time. This is talking about the essence of what life really is. And don't you want to walk in reality? No, do you want to walk around in a fantasy? You want to walk around the world and you don't see any more than the world sees? You don't know any more than the world knows? I think you want to walk in the actualized essence of what life really, 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 really is. Look over in the corner, there should be some in the corner, all the way over in the corner. Amen. Everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Of actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time. If you don't see it, give to our guests. Amen. Want everyone to have one, and those of you who are the regulars, you should know, don't leave home without it. Amen. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions again.
Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
For manifestation in time. And I know we've gone into the second year of this. This document is some 300 and some pages long. It has 10 parts to it. We're going to try to complete part two this morning. I will not waste good spiritual time dealing with the seen when the unseen is what remains. You see what you see, and it's passing away. But the unseen, the real, real, there are glossary of definitions on page 3. Amen. So when we start to using these terms, and if you're reading and you run across something, some of these terms are on that sheet. I want you to go to page 58. We're going to try to read. We're going to try our best to get out of this part two. In the back, there's part 3 and 4, but I'm not. I'll hand that out to you. You can have that at the end of the service. Let us concentrate on getting out of part two. All right, Deacon Gavin is our designated readers. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Brother Deacon, so that we make sure we get out of this, let's just read from the Greek text this morning. Now, when we say the Greek text, again, we have the Greek interlineal, the New Testament of what they designate and call the New Testament, which includes our gospel, the Grace Testament. Mm-hmm. It's written in Greek. You pick up a dictionary. Every English word there has its origin traced back to about the 12th, 13th, or 14th century. Mm-hmm. Which means that when the original manuscripts were written for the Bible, there was no such thing as the English language.
Right.
And so those who take these translations that I'm saying, fine. Amen. But before I could ever stand up here to try to explain something to you, we have to first understand what the actual conveyance is.
Right.
And the only way to make sure of that is to know. So, well, sometime ministers and ministers, well, I like what the NIV says. I like what the Living Word Translation says. What we do is we go back to the same manuscripts that these translators have. Because we want to know what it's actually saying. Actually. All right. Now, if you don't have the Greek interlinear, and I would strongly advise everyone who is a part of this ministry, and even others, that you would get one of these Greek interlinears. And the difference here is that you have the Greek word and you have the English word right under it. So if he veers from what he's saying, he at least has to put some footnote there to let you know that he's moving off the track. And this is why we exegete. We break it down into the grammar. We look at the historical context. And the reason we're doing that, because we want to know what covenant we're in. Because if we're in the grace covenant and the translator conveys something to you that hints at synergism. What is synergism? That's you supplying something, your part, God part, you put the two together and that's how it gets done. You know automatically Paul's not saying that.
Amen.
And then contextual. A lot of times, just the context that we're in. Because the Bible is consistent. It does not contradict itself. If you're reading two verses up and it says something, and then two verses down and saying something else, that translator went off the track. Either he's wrong up there in the verse 5, or he's wrong in verse 8. Because the truest gauge of truth is what?
Consistency.
All right. Brother Deacon started reading from verse, oh my God. Well, we're going to get through. We better. I think last time, and of course, what we did is we took a break from this for the holidays. And you know, I knew that you all wanted a Christmas message. And we had a New Year's pastoral address that we always give. So now we're back to this. And remember, we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Well, let's move to verse 21 and just background through it. If you know this verse, Paul is writing to his son Timothy, and he's basically telling him, first of all, in verse 15, to basically study the scriptures, study the word of God. Study, so that you will be approved unto God, an unashamed worker, rightly dividing the word of God, rightly coming down what actually is said. Then he tells him in verse 16, he said, "I run away from all of this philosophy and those who are basically speaking things and saying things, and all you have to do is to turn on the TV today. You turn to the different religious networks and church program after program. You got philosophies, all of these things." He said, run away from these things. And then he even talked about those of his day that were perverting the word of God to the point of teaching that the resurrection had come. What kind of message is that? I'm standing here telling you that the resurrection has come. The rapture has come, and you sitting here. Automatically, something's wrong with that, isn't it? That's what was happening here. But he was telling him in verse 19 that regardless of that, says the foundation of God standeth sure. And that because of election, the God knows who are his. And even those that are sitting under these philosophies and doctrines, they're secured because, thank God, what you know does not determine who you are. What you don't know does not determine who you are. It's election. You were called. You were chosen in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. Before you even got here. God called out those that were His. And so, but He said, but let those that are in this, not let, but it's ordained that those that God would have will turn away from this. And also in verse 20, He said, now in a big house, that is in all of the elect of God, and they're everywhere. God's people in every, somebody's not going to like this, God's people in every religion. God's people in some where there's no religion. Ooh, Pastor, what you saying? The determination of who belonged to God occurred where?
In eternity.
In eternity. In eternity. The little baby that was born and died within hours. Even the one that was aborted. You see, outside of God, there is nothing that determines who you are. And who you're not. So He said, not in a great house, in a big entity such as the body of Christ, as He specifically is dealing with here. He said, you got many. You've got some that's going to preach this thing to honor.
Amen.
Some to dishonor. Now I look at TV and I see some of these preachers and all of the crazy stuff that's coming down. I don't say that person's going to hell because he's preaching false doctrine, unlike understanding. And this is what Paul is saying here, you know. Some to honor, some to dishonor. That's all he's saying. And so when you get verse 20, read that, Brother Deacon. 21, I'm sorry.
We're reading from the book of 2 Timothy.
Now follow along in your Bible. Don't worry. It's you won't get lost. The translators, is, some of them did a pretty good job. Except they just went off the track in certain areas. All right, read.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, interlineal Greek text. If therefore anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel to honor, having been sanctified, suitable for the master to every good work, having been prepared.
Okay, so basically what he is saying here, actually exegeting this, if then, if therefore, anyone cleanse, here you have the Greek verb, ekathari, which is in the subjunctive mood. What is the subjunctive mood? What is the aorist tense? So basically, that should read cleanse, make clean, having cleanse. That is, the probability is dependent upon what God has decreed. And here, Paul, as he writes to his son Timothy, is basically saying to Timothy that he perceived through the word, through the Spirit of God, that he will be cleared out from all of that. See that? You have that reflected pronoun there, himself. But see, it is tenured by the subjunctive aorist there. So he's not saying that a man or some person can cleanse themselves.
Right.
He is saying that whoever God has decreed to be clear from all the confusion of all of these philosophies, that's the one that Paul is talking to. Amen. And he said, And this is what he means with the demonstrative pronoun, from these. Now, many will preach that and go straight to salvation. And Paul wasn't talking about salvation.
All right.
So he said, he will be vessels to honor. And here what clarifies this, he says, vessels to honor set apart. But when you look at the verb participle set apart,
yep,
or sanctified, it might be sanctified in your bodies. And, well, we got some strange meaning of that word sanctified.
Never.
No. Set apart. Mm-hmm. You are set apart by God. Mm-hmm. We have a verb participle here. Eonsminon. Eonsminon. And it's in the perfect tense. What's the perfect tense? With what? So, wherever you are is a result as of what you were. God set you apart. When did God set you apart?
In eternity.
So you identified as such in time because God sanctified you or set you apart in eternity. And it's in the passive voice. What's the passive voice?
You didn't do it.
That's something that was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say sanctified, and it's in the passive voice,
mm-hmm,
the object or the person or the one that is sanctified or set apart is on the receiving end of what someone else has done for them.
Right.
Has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with you. Then he said, useful, beneficial to the Lord. Oh, God help ministers with all of these goals and aims and aspirations.
Yeah.
That chief among them will be to be beneficial to the Lord. Then he says, to every good work. Here we have an adjective here, agathon. Agathon. Good. What is good? Well, he defines it. If it's useful to the master, it's good. A lot of that things that are being preached today, that there's no way that they are useful to the Lord. That's the gauge. That's the what is good. And then what tops it off, he has a verb, another verb participle here. It is etimos minon, which is a participle. What is a participle?
Verb, what's
an adjective? It describes something. What's a verb? It's an action verb. Here it is in the perfect tense. That which is because it was.
Right.
It is in the passive voice. What's the passive voice? That's something been done. It's translated here, having been and is prepared. So we can't stick our chest out if God gives us the understanding. We're doing what's been prepared for us.
Glory to God.
You see how it works?
Yeah.
All right. Finish reading that, Brother Deacon.
Amen.
And so, with this knowledge in hand, he says what in verse 22?
Now the youthful lusts flee,
mm-hmm,
but pursue righteousness,
mm-hmm,
faith,
mm-hmm,
love,
mm-hmm,
peace, with the calling on,
mm-hmm,
the Lord,
mm-hmm,
out of a clean heart.
Mm-hmm. And again, just contextualizing this, if you got all of these passive voices up in the previous verse, when you get down there, you've not gone active, have you? And unless it's in manifestation, but then you know that all manifestation comes from what? God's decree. It's actualizing God's decree.
Yeah.
You are doing what God has ordained you to do.
Right.
So don't you get the big head and say, I know more than them.
Nope.
The Only reason you know what you know is because God revealed it to you. Because we all come out of the same depraved bag. All right, verse 23. And this is the advice that he gives Timothy. But what?
But foolish and uninstructed questions refuse, knowing that they beget fight.
God wouldn't waste my time. He just going and said, well, you know, hey, you get people fighting about doctrine and so forth. And so I said, well, I don't agree with what you say. It's okay. I love you anyway. what are we fighting about, huh? Because the truth is not going to come out of who hollered the loudest. Truth is the truth. Doesn't need any input from any human.
Hallelujah.
So this is what he's saying.
Yeah.
And this is information to us. Remember, these are epistles, letters that are written to us.
Yes, sir.
All right, read.
Verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
And the slave of the Lord, it behooves not to fight, but gentle to be toward all men, apt to teach, forbearing.
Just having patience. You know, if we exegete this and we put it out, this is why we put in writing everything that we teach and preach.
Yes.
And then that's it. Someone said, well, I don't buy it. Well, hey, man, it's all right. Look what he's saying to us. He said, well, he's talking to Timothy. No, he's talking to us too.
That's right.
We're members of the body of Christ, just as Timothy is a member of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Read.
Verse 25. In meekness.
In meekness.
Instructing the opposing.
Now, in meekness, instructing the opposing. Here, basically, I'm going to stop here, and here you have basically a triple compound Greek word. It is the Greek word antithemenos. So, whoa, Pastor, well, you got three words there, three Greek words that make up that. The words are thea, teeth. Andi, thea, and tethami. It means to place, arrange against, those opposing. It's in the middle of voice. So those who oppose, and that's when the subject is acting on itself. So those who are opposing the truth, they're not opposing you, they're opposing themselves. Anyone who opposes the truth is opposing themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Don't get mad at people for opposing themselves. This is what he's saying. That's all he's saying. You know? Then, read the second part of that again.
Perhaps may give them God.
You see that? You see, here what you have, what you call an interrogative particle. Mipothe. It's rendered whether or perhaps. It is followed by a verb that is a subjunctive aorist. It's translated give or grant or whether or perhaps maybe haven't been granted. Because you know what? Having been exposed to the truth, if God has so decreed, long after that person gets to argue with you and he sit down somewhere, the Holy Spirit could come to him and just clear that thing right up. But don't you take credit for it.
Hallelujah.
You see? God doesn't need our help with the truth.
Amen.
Let's not get upset or intimidated. Having granted them, maybe haven't been granted them of God, what?
Repentance.
Or change of mind. He's not tough. He's not dealing with salvation here.
All right.
Don't you think that what you believe determines whether you be saved or not?
Amen.
Now, it's good to believe the truth, and we thank God when he gives us the truth. No one has the full truth of everything.
Nope.
And somewhere down the line, amen, there's something that we don't know.
Amen.
And so if anyone had to know it all, nobody would be saved. So we have to understand that thing. You know, Paul said, even Paul said, he was talking about knowledge. I have not obtained. I press towards, I move toward it, but there are some things I have obtained. Now, to what?
May give them God repentance for a full knowledge of truth.
Full knowledge of truth. And that comes from where? From God. So your job is to put it out there, be prayerful, be kind, be patient. Knowing that the only way that they will understand is that if God does what? Reveal it to them.
Yes.
That's all he's saying to Timothy. You know? Because Paul knew how controversial this mystery message would be.
Oh, yes.
You know? There are a lot of church folk who fight you on this. Oh, yeah, they'll fight you on this. Don't you get all upset. Drawn it out of sheep. No.
Amen.
Verse 26.
And they may return to soberness out of the devil's snare.
Right.
Having been caught by him.
By him. Okay. And so that will not be something that you will accomplish. You know, say, well, we got to go out and save the world. You didn't save yourself. How are you going to save the world? Our job is to minister. Put it out there. All right. Let's go to keep on reading to the next verse, to the next
that
chapter.
One will.
We're in chapter 3 now.
And this know thou.
And know this.
That in last days.
And now he's understand this, you know. He was not only writing to Timothy, he was writing to us. In the last days, what's going to happen?
Will be at hand times grievous. For will be men self-lovers. Money lovers.
Oh my God.
Boasters.
Arrogant.
Blasphemous to
now,
parents.
Now, he didn't say they would not be saved. He said these are the things that, the characteristics that they would be doing. Man, the arrogance is astounding among the ministry now. Don't let them have a big crowd, 3 or 4, I mean, no, I guess that's not really what the mega church is saying. 20, 30,000 members and people, auditorium just flooded. Yeah. The arrogance just come popping out. It's amazing, isn't it? We know we live in the dispensation of grace, don't we?
Amen.
Well, I say that for us as well as for them.
Disobedient. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Implacable. Slanderers. Incontinent. Untamed. Haters of good. Betrayers. Reckless.
Oh my God, how reckless can you get to stand up before thousands of people and say that you can obligate God? Or you can bargain with God. You bargain with somebody, that means you're bringing something to the table. What do you have to offer God? Keep reading.
Hallelujah.
Keep reading.
Having been puffed up. Pleasure lovers.
Rather
than God lovers.
Pleasure lovers rather than God lovers. Pleasure lovers rather than God lovers. I have a certain person, I'm not going to call the name of the pastor because everybody know him. He's bragging on how rich he is. He's not rich. If it's in the scene, that thing has to keep on blinking. We'll deal with that in the conference. You know that whatever you see It's not a constant light. Do you know it's blinking? It's blinking so fast you can't see it. Oh my God. You know why? Because all you're dealing with are images. You're only dealing with images. Reach.
Having a form of piety, but the power of it having denied.
Zero. Already having been denied. Already annulled. What is rich? Even that word defies someone saying that someone is rich. You say, well, Bill Gates is rich. Not in the truest sense of the word. Know what that word literally means? Unlimited supply. Of all the money that Bill Gates has, you can take his friend Moffitt also, throw his in there, and a few others, and you started walking through the United States handing out $100 bills up and down the coast. Do you know what would happen to you at some point?
Run out.
You'd be out of money. That's not rich. Rich means unlimited supply. I mean, the truest essence. This knowledge that he has given us, we have an unlimited, it's unlimited in essence of what its entity is. Read.
And these turn away from.
See that? Read.
Of these, for are the creeping into houses and capturing silly women.
We don't have time to deal with that. He's not focusing on the that's an old that wives tale that basically is speaking of that which is not true. You know, that's not the literal translation there. That speaks of that which is unreal. You know, just like what they call an old folk remedy.
Right, right.
See, the home remedy. You know, stuff that you can take that's supposed to heal you. They say it either heal you or kill you. All right, read.
Having been heaped with sins, being led lust by various, always learning.
Always learning.
And
never understanding. Never coming to a full knowledge.
Of truth.
But because what are you learning? What information you're taking in, is it spiritual? Is it scriptural? You can learn a whole lot of things, but it's not going to lead to full understanding. That's what he's saying. And he said why he kept telling Timothy, he said, these things teach, what you have learned from me.
Amen.
Paul wasn't bragging.
No.
God had given him the revelation.
Yes.
That was hid according to many scriptures that are now revealed to the church, to us. These are the things we must learn. This is why I'm standing here, and I will be standing here as long as the Lord allows me to stand here, and we're going to deal with the spiritual unseen. We're going to beat that drum. We're going to toot that horn. Regardless of what you see around you, don't depend upon any of it. It will let you down. That's what he's saying. Read.
Never to a full knowledge of truth to come, being able.
Not being able to come because you're taking in and relying on the wrong thing. And of course, God controls that. Read.
By what way now Jannes and Jambres
talks about those who were opposing
Moses.
Opposed Moses. You see, all the way back, I think I was basically saying to you, Brother Deacon, before church, say you when you get truth, you got to expect opposition.
Amen.
You know, people in ministry these days, what they want is a free ride. No muss, no fuss. And that doesn't square with those whom God gave truth to.
Nope.
Go all the way back to Moses. Mm-hmm. Those people almost ran him crazy.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Ever. Yes, they did.
And so when trouble comes and problems come in the church, I'm talking to myself now. So why are you having so much problems? Because we have so much truth. If the devil's not messing with you, if he's helping you, you better check what you're doing.
That's right. That's right.
Because he's sure not going to help you do the right thing.
No. Never.
No. Mm-mm. Read.
So also these oppose the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Men having been corrupted the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Reprobate.
Uh-huh.
As to the faith.
So why are we worried about him? Read.
But not they will advance.
They won't go any further than what God has decreed. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to exegete this, but oh my God, do you know when he speaks what they won't do? That's in the indicative future. That's a future. How can you get a future fact? You can't have a fact until it's already in existence. Where it is?
Right. Come on.
It may not be in time, but it's in eternity.
Yeah.
It may not be manifested, but it's in God's decree.
Yeah.
And the real happening is in God's decree. If God has said it, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Not worried about all these, those who are perverting the truth. And, you know, we say, hey, when I preach, I have to have a stadium. So many people come. So what?
That's right.
What is he saying here? Read. Now what does he say about them? They will advance no further, and what?
They will advance, but not they will.
They will advance to more.
Mm-hmm.
For the folly of them.
Now what do you call it?
Very
what,
clear.
What does he call it? All of the, this folly. Is foolishness. Folly. What we're getting off the television screen from the ministry in these days is foolishness and folly.
Yeah.
It's fool's gold.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many are in their ranks and how big the auditoriums are and how many people are there, foolishness, if it doesn't line up with the mystery message, is foolishness and folly.
That's right. Come on, hallelujah.
If it's accentuating the seen over the unseen, is foolishness and folly. If it's prioritizing world wares it's like me standing in the heavens in Christ Jesus, it's foolishness and folly.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Now, this is what the Word of God calls it.
Jesus.
And that's what it is. No matter how alluring it might look. Read.
For the folly of them, very clear, will be to all men, as also the of
well,
those who came.
That's wrong. Where are you reading from? Are you reading from the Greek?
Mm-hmm.
Will be
read, to all men. Read that again.
For the folly
of them, very clear, will be to all men.
Wait, hold, stop there. Mm-hmm. What's you see? This is why. You see, he's got that Greek word there is prosyne. Do you say anthropos anywhere there, anyone? The Greek word for man is anthropos.
Right.
And he didn't put a script or anything there. And also, passing doesn't have the definite article in front of it. Without the definite article, that means every one of a kind. So it will be clear, manifested to every one of a kind what kind? Those that God will give the truth to will recognize the truth, and he'll recognize, by recognizing the truth, he automatically know what the folly is. Who recognize the truth, through the truth, recognize what the folly and foolishness is.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Now, you know, those that are taught here, I hope as you sit there and watch and you hear this stuff, you said, hey, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break.
Oh, yeah.
Yet there are people that are taking notes. But he said, it'll be clear to you and to all of those who he gives the truth to. Now, why do we exegete?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
How is foolishness and folly going to be clear to all men?
All right. You're right. Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine Paul saying such a thing? The folly and foolishness is clear to those that know the truth. Finish it up.
As also the of those became, Jannes and Jambres.
Right.
But thou hast closely followed of me the teaching, the conduct.
All right. All right. We'll close it off there, basically. You get the point of what we do. Let's go to our document then. Let's go. Let's go to the bottom of page 58. Well, let's go to the middle of it. I guess we won't get through it part two today. In humankind's search, everybody can see that? In humankind's search to extract information for the supposed purpose of shaping opinions and foregoing decisions and choices, there's more dependency on the collective thoughts of humanity and less reliance on the directives of divinity. Corroboration of this is documented by recent reports indicating that more time is logged on the internet for secular mutation than any other single purpose. Many access fruitful studies via the internet, and there are positive uses for the medium, and even some morally productive ones. There's no question about the fact that this technology, a technological superhighway, talking about the internet, for information is being used in a most aggressive fashion as a substitute for spiritual direction. Technology is an effective tool, but a tool in the hands of the depraved nature of humankind is at best a morally ambiguous thing. Add to this a world system that is constantly exerting its influence towards sinfulness, self-love, and technology, as it becomes merely a means of accelerating the implementation of the human mindset. We will not play into the human mindset. There is no sound basis for opposition to technology, nor should there be. For indeed, it is useful for God's work. But it is the epitome of carnality to reach beyond the value limits of it or to bestow too much praise upon it. For like almost all so-called progressive forces in the sphere of time, it is in truth the advancement of plans for the enslavement and destruction of the human race. This is merely an illusionary establishment of a state wherein all limitations of God's built-in restraints are perceived to be non-existent.
Amen.
Such phenomena will be the order in the dark days of the Great Tribulation. Due in great part to so-called materialistic progress in the realization of this decreed state of affairs is steadily evolving according to its course. Listen, a great component of the reason for this is that technocultural progress is inevitably coupled with a corresponding spiritual regression. The reason for this is simple. Proportionally as one depends, listen, as one depends upon oneself and human abilities, the less such is interested in God and all that he has decreed for his elect. That is us. That is us. In essence, humanly perceived, ethnological and scientific progress, that's what's dealing with life, with nature, with physicalities, requires no moral advancement at all. Indeed, all the collective accomplishments in this vein have served as operational components of humankind's alienation from God. This is displayed in humankind's exuberance in creating a false sense of mastery over the material world. Hence, for those who are not blessed to internalize the true spiritual realities of life, what are they? Come right back to salvation. That's why we started with all the Asians. Sanctification, glorification, etc. The forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus, first and foremost. Where do we start? Salvation. Everybody says salvation. Whatever you think about salvation, it serves as that which sets your mindset for thinking about everything else. That's why we always start with salvation. It is all too easy to lay their dependence upon human technology, which in turn undermine their reliance upon God. Such gives the flawed impressions that human choices and decisions ultimately determine the course of life. Now, I'm going to jump down. Let's jump to page 60. Where it says Jesus Christ. Got it? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. And that'll get us in trouble with the Buddhists and with the Muslims. In fact, that'll get us in trouble with the Jews. We're not out here to fight. But we're not going to be intimidated either. We don't have to argue the point. Once you put it out there, amen. So I reject it. Amen. Love you. Manifestation-wise, before Christ's redemptive display on the cross, those of his elect abided according to their respective covenant promises of justification through the eternal expiatory sacrifice. You already was. Remember, 2,000 years ago was what? The manifestation of the blood of Jesus. When was the Lamb of God slain?
In eternity.
In eternity. Before, according to Revelation, what?
13:38.
According to the, when was he slain? From the foundation of the world, or before the foundation of the world. Because the thing happens, it's actualizing God's decree. God said it, that's when it happened. Not when it manifested 2,000 years ago. Now, in this view, beginning with Adam and Eve and their coats of skin onward, there's in effect the depiction claiming beforehand Christ's manifested work through symbolic animal sacrifices. God had a purpose for that. Subsequent to the testimony of Christ's sacrificial death on Calvary, one can reflect on it as his saving work for his elect on the cross. Thus, whether the focus is before or after the cross, Christ has always been the only way to God.
Only way.
All other religious, occult systems, doctrines, groups, cults, and the like are false paths. Oh, it's not politically correct to say that.
That's right.
You're not going around to try to pick a fight. But we're going to state what's in this word.
Amen.
I was asked time to go in a civic setting to come and give the implication. And basically, after I got through talking, I didn't have to decline. They declined me because there's no way I'm going to pray and not say Jesus' name. No. Some of them don't want you to mention God. Mm-hmm. It's not good. You know, the undeterminable power of the oh my God. To push God, one must do it according to his dictates and methodology, which is the exclusive means, that is, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. This is the only avenue which brings salvation, forgiveness of sins, and the manifested promise of resurrection. None of this can be achieved by good works, self-sacrifice, ritual, membership in any organization. The salvation evolves from the eternal redemptive work of Christ alone, rather than the assertions of mankind's decisions and choices. You did not make a, quote, decision for Christ. You did not choose him. Amen. He chose you. Despite the hyper-materialistic nature of this world, God has imbued his people with his spiritual nature, engendering a deep and abiding need to satisfy this essential part of their makeup. Only a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ can truly satisfy this need. In this light, it is important to recognize that the drive for spirituality gravitates toward the phenomena of the eternal unseen, as opposed to the development of the earthly kaleidoscope variety of alternatives. Oh, I just don't have time. We got to move on. These run the gamut from staid and traditional religions to outlandish, mystical, and we've dealt with that. Remember? Calvinistic activities. Some sectors of Christendom are anxious to find something for everyone and anything that intrigues the exposits of mysticism, as such masquerades as the truth of Jesus Christ. Any and all religious activities which do not assess Christ in the undiluted center of things, in effect, substitute depraved entities there by default. You know, you have to get something to draw the pee-pee and no, you don't go. No, you don't. Whatever you use to draw me in, you got to use that to hold me in. To keep them there. No, we don't. True spirituality entails the godly endowed desire to seek the attributes of the Creator, which humanly inspired activities merely perpetrate separation from him into the home stretch. Listen to this. Hear me. Organization within itself is not the authenticating ingredient in the conveyance of true spirituality. In this sense, some of God's people would do things in a group that they would never do on their own. Corollary to this, and equally important, is the principle that if enough people are doing something in a highly organized manner, then an air of legitimacy would be lent to the enterprise. Such is usually fostered by a false patina, the shiny surface, of orthodoxy that in effect usually serve to blind initiates, both new and old, to the fact that God and Christ may actually be entirely absent and the organization subtly carnal in every way. Once enough people become involved in such religious organizations, momentum and critical mass is achieved that allows these false groups, pseudo false groups, to represent to the world a false picture of spirituality, even though in truth God is not in their midst at all. It is also a common human failing that once some ministries have become involved in something, once they have thrown, quote, good money after bad long enough, such come to have a vested interest in believing their, quote, decisions and choices for fear of appearing to have labored in error. For if they admit to having been had, a lot of these people, they know that that's junk that they're dealing with. They don't want to admit they've been had. But they admit to having been had, they fear not only looking foolish, but they perceive that all their sacrifices have been in vain. You know, they got off of a certain preacher. Some people sued him because he was saying, if you do step one through five, then you're going to prosper, and they didn't do it. And because you can find a lawyer to do anything. And they sued him. He picked up the Bible and he said, yeah, but he said that if you live right, if you... He won, too. There's no way in the world you'll be able to fully satisfy God. And you all to praise. For we had to satisfy God to be blessed. None of us would ever get a thing. Yeah, we get something, but it's not what we want. Last paragraph, and we will finish this section today. For these reasons, many organizations are good targets for the human materialistic nature of mankind. Even legitimate God-fearing Christian groups have historically succumbed to this humanistic-inspired infiltration. Generations of followers and leaders alike in these type ministries are almost never clear in their thinking in the eternal spiritual realm. When tradition and organization become more important than the Word of God, they exude, in a sense, the abandonment of a genuine basic Bible, that is, the essential doctrines of the Bible, which we've gone through, and amen, time to time we go back through. I don't want anybody around here not know what justification is. Propitiation. Somebody said, what is that, something to eat? I hope everybody here know what it is. All the Asians. I mean, that's what brought you to the dance. That was your ticket through the door. You don't know what imputation is. And that's the only way you have the righteousness of Christ. Oh my God. Now, in this place, there's the popular and more humanly based entrenchments. And this is what we're getting from the pulpits: self-help, self-control, and self-reliance. There's no way to make a thing more shaky than to put the word self in there. Which doctrinally propagates the unscriptural belief that mankind influences and even determines the course and direction of daily occurrences through their decisions and choices. And this is the track we're trying to get you off of. The fact of the matter is, and I close with this, humankind's input in the process of events is limited to the manifestation aspect of what have been actualized in God's decree in the eternal sphere. Accordingly, no influential or determinable index accounts for any aspects of human actualization to such one's decisions and choices in the sphere of time. My friend, the only choice that you have is the automatic pilot of being depraved. If it's good, if it's profitable, if it's true, if it's right, if it's abiding, it is sourced from the Almighty God. Give him a praise. Hallelujah.